Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
But we are delighted to be joined right now by the commissioner of the NBA, Adam Silver, who is getting ready for the NBA draft. Adam, first and foremost, thank you for being with us. By the way, you were the first guest, I believe, we had outside of people inside the building here on Golic and Wingo. And 7 months later, we're still here. They said it wouldn't last.
Well, good morning.
Glad to have you with us. So as we're getting ready for the start of the NBA draft tomorrow night, what is your anticipatory level here for this event, which is really the seminal event of the offseason going forward for the NBA?
There's an enormous amount of anticipation. I mean, we have, I think, another fantastic class based on watching a lot of them play in college. Obviously, some very high-profile international players coming in as well. They're coming in a little bit younger than they have historically. We're projecting we're going to have roughly 20 one-and-done players coming in out of college. I think that's just the reality of where we find ourselves. And, you know, we spend a lot of time talking about what our minimum age should be these days. But I can just tell from the amount being talked and written about this class that not only are fans excited, but I know there's a lot of teams are really excited about the opportunity as well.
Certainly looks like a good class. And you mentioned the possibility of 21 and duns. In your estimation, how many years will it be before we are announcing high school seniors again in this draft?
You know, I'm not sure. As you guys have reported, we sent a memo out to our team saying that if we were to make the change, it wouldn't happen before either the 2021 or 22 season. The reason we did that is because teams, of course, trade draft picks. And the year that if we were to change the age from 19 to 18, you can just imagine how rich that draft class will be, because in essence, we'll have two classes coming in at once. And again, that maybe there's some something different we need to do that year. We've had very preliminary discussions with the Players Association about what would happen in that case, but we really haven't sat down either frankly with our owners or the Players Association to have more extensive discussions about whether the right thing for the league is to move a year earlier. Just to add to what's going on, as I think you know, Condoleezza Rice was brought in by the NCAA. She chaired a commission. They met for about 6 months, and they made a recommendation that, in essence, that the NBA take back the one-and-done players. So I think one of the important factors, of course, is that if the college community is saying they don't want those players, I think that will weigh heavily in the discussions we have with our Players Association. And around the league, it's a mixed bag. I think probably our teams are about 50-50. I mean, we went back in 2005, we went from 18 to 19 as the minimum age, and we did it because at the time there was a sense that the players coming right out of high school weren't mature enough, both from a skill standpoint and a life standpoint. Things are a little bit different now. I think they're the AAU programs, the junior NBA programs, the USA basketball programs for teens are more intensive. Plus, we have our G League, which we didn't have back then. Again, it's not. I don't think it's win-win. Whatever you do, I think I can understand from a lot of general manager standpoint why they would prefer drafting players after they've been in college for a year. On the other hand, in fairness to the college system, if they don't want the players, I think that's something we have to take into account.
And it's certainly something that looks like it will be figured out going forward, as we're talking with NBA Commissioner Adam Silver on the eve of the NBA draft. Adam, we just came off lather, rinse, repeat for the fourth straight year, a finals between the Golden State Warriors and the Cleveland Cavaliers. And on one sense, it's what the people wanted. Ratings were up. People were very interested, even though it was a sweep. They were very into this series because of the stars that were there. However, there are some people out there that are saying, look, we're getting into a situation where we have these dynasties which are bad for competitive balance in the NBA. Now, my counter to that has always been, we've always had dynastic teams in the NBA, going back to the 50s, whether it's the Celtics, the Lakers, the Bulls of the 90s, the Spurs, and a couple of other teams in the 2000s. The question then becomes, where are we going forward on the idea of the same teams being there year in and year again being a problem?
Well, to your point about who's happy about it, certainly not the 28 other teams.
Correct.
I can begin with. But, you know, to your point also about competition, I mean, and I talked about this during the finals. I mean, just taking the East, for example, with LeBron, he, of course, has been to the finals now 8 consecutive seasons. You know, I think the first player since Bill Russell to do that. And he's played with 59 different teammates over the last 8 years. So I'm not sure what system we could develop. If supposedly the right outcome was he shouldn't be in the finals 8 years in a row, and I'm not suggesting it is, but from a system standpoint, I don't know what we can do differently. I don't think anybody was looking at Cleveland going into the finals and saying, what a loaded team. I can't believe he has so many superstars around him, with complete respect to his teammates. So, and then in the case of the West, I get it in terms of Kevin Durant going there. It was a bit of an aberration in our system. We had a spike in our cap. It enabled them to have additional cap room. The Warriors will tell you they would have figured out a way to get it done anyway. I don't know. But even if Kevin Durant hadn't gone to Golden State, and let's just say he'd stayed at Oklahoma City, or let's say he'd gone to another team maybe in the East, you clearly would have had a third team that would have been much better. Any team that has Kevin Durant will be. But then you still have 27 other teams. And so, you got to give Golden State their due. And I've said repeatedly, let's also celebrate excellence. I mean, ownership, the job Bob Myers has done as the GM, Steve Kerr, of course, one of the great coaches in our league. And then, you know, Steph Curry drafted, Klay Thompson drafted, Draymond Green drafted 35th by Golden State Warriors. I don't think as a league we want to go about breaking up teams just to break them up, just to force some sort of parity that is kind of unnatural. On the other hand, I can understand a system doing some different things in the system that may not have allowed a player like Kevin Durant to go to a team that was already so good. So, number one, there are things we can look at. There's always a next collective bargaining agreement, and people over the years, we've talked about a harder cap than we have now. You know, the NFL is a much harder cap than we do. Ours is somewhat soft, obviously allows teams to go significantly above the cap and the tax level. And that's the case with both Golden State and Cleveland. They're significantly above where our tax level is right now. So we'll continue to look at it. But in the meantime, you know, hats off to Golden State and to Cleveland for that matter. They're competing within the system. They're driving hard to win, and to the extent that Golden State, as a result, may be a dynasty, I mean, they're probably right there, and not for me to declare them one, and maybe people have to look back on it. But again, I credit them with working within the system, and also just watch the basketball on the floor. I mean, it's
beautiful.
They're a fantastic team. And I think, and I loved, like I think, a few players, I mean, Victor Oladipo, when Indiana lost in Game 7 to Cleveland, he tweeted the next day, I'm back in the gym. I know where the bar is now. And also in our league, in terms of parity, for the first time in 39 years, we had 2 7-game conference finals. So, I mean, you could say the Rockets were built to defeat the Warriors, and they were right there. They had Game 7 at home against the Golden State Warriors, and obviously in Game 5, Chris Paul, a superstar player in this league, injured himself, and there you were. So he wasn't in the game that the whole season was built on being in. So there's elements of luck involved with this as well. So, I mean, I'm still at the stage of celebrating the basketball we have right now, but I hear people, I mean, listen, honestly, the 20 other teams, they're the biggest complainers in terms of, the fact that these two teams have met 4 times in a row. And so they're ultimately, collectively, our 30 teams are in charge of what system we have together with the players. And by the way, the players want to win too. I mean, it's not just owners. The players on 20 other teams want a system that allows every player, regardless of where they get drafted or where they get traded or where they sign, to be able to compete for championships.
Sure.
And that's what you want. So, and again, as you guys pointed out, there have been dynasties forever in this league. It's funny, there's an old Sports Illustrated cover you guys should look up from 1997, and there's a picture of Michael Jordan
Michael
on the Jordan, cover.
Yeah, sort
of,
seen it, absolutely. Yeah,
yeah. And it's saying, are the Bulls bad for the NBA? And it's kind of the same storyline right now. I mean, although, I was with the league, of course, I started in the early 90s, people weren't quite quite saying, I don't remember the same conversation back then. I think because you didn't have the Kevin Durant factor. I think that sort of bugs people a little bit. I think just from, because a team that was already a championship team gained Kevin Durant, there wasn't quite the equivalent with the Chicago Bulls. But like I said, from a system standpoint, I'll take that as an issue for the league, because we always, through collective bargaining, can be sitting down with our Players Association figuring out what's the best way to design competition around this league.
No
because
question.
That's what we have. So,
Adam Silver joining us, the commissioner of the NBA. You've also advocated for, now that gambling is legal, a 1% cut, basically, for the league. Where are, as we have a couple of states now that are going forward with this, where is that heading right now about the 1%, whether you can or whether you can't?
The casinos don't seem as excited about that idea as I am.
I'm shocked by that.
Our notion is that, there's a bit of analogy to me to music that, called a royalty. When that music plays in the casino, everyone understands that the musicians, the composer, all get a royalty, some fee from that music being played. From our standpoint, we created this content in the NBA this year. Believe it or not, we'll spend roughly, close to $8 billion this year, in the NBA, a combination of our arenas, paying the players, all our expenses and everything else. It would just seem natural that, to the extent that the casinos are going to then take that content and in a for-profit business, of course, then use it to make money, that the NBA or whatever sports league, and including the players, are involved in the creation of that content, should get some sort of share. So we went to the state legislatures. There's roughly 20 of them right now who are in the process of either pass bills or discussing right now sports betting legislation. We went to them and said, we should get some sort of cut. Now, I'll just say that to the extent that the states are, saying ultimately, no, they're not suggesting necessarily that we don't deserve to enter into to some commercial relationship with the casinos. They're saying, we're going to let the market, work its magic. In other words, you, the NBA, if you want to sit down with Caesars or Wynn or whatever it is, the casino, and have direct discussions, that's up to you. And then, so in other words, you may have situations where you go into a sports book at the Bellagio Hotel, and there's some official moniker that says, official, betting parlor of the NBA or whatever the league is, and as a consumer then that their data is coming directly from the league. There's a whole process now where illegally some of our data is they call it like scraped, where you have college kids watching games off television and creating their own stat feeds, things like that. So, the data is official. There's an integrity behind the information you have. It allows them to use, the logos and marks of the league. So I'm at the end of the day, I think we will probably end up entering into a set of deals directly with the casinos. But let me just to step back, most importantly from the league standpoint, I mean, this is a position I took as soon as I became commissioner. There's hundreds of billions of dollars bet illegally just in the United States on sports right now. And for us, having it regulated and legal across the country is much better than the current state of affairs where,
correct,
people are paying cash on, at the corner bar. It's like here, at least, it probably most important to us, putting aside a fee, is that we have, access to the data in the aggregate, not to the individual bettors, so that if there's aberrational behavior, if there's, look, everybody knows what the lines are in these games. Everyone knows what the over-under is. And you can see when something's happening that's aberrational, just like there's insider trading with stocks, that the New York Stock Exchange, their computers, set off, red flags if there's unusual activity on,
right,
a particular stock. And then they work backwards. They see exactly who's buying that stock, and they can figure,
right,
out whether there's something untoward going on. It's no different in Europe, where there's legalized sports betting and people are identifying themselves betting on their smartphones, etc. If somebody who's never made a bet before is all of a sudden putting a lot of money down on a game that had an outcome that nobody was expecting, it causes them, the regulators, to look. And it may be, who is this person?
Right.
And maybe it's totally legit, but maybe it's not. So whether or not the fee comes to the NBA, a regulated jurisdiction will be much better for us.
All right, Adam, listen, we appreciate the insight there. A lot going on. We'll see how these things play out. Looking forward to the draft tomorrow on ESPN, ESPN Radio, and ESPN.com. Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Adam.
Thank you.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.